Welcome to Brainstorm Brewery. I'm Corbin Hostler. I'm joined by my co-host Jason Ault and our frequent guest Douglas Johnson. How are you guys doing tonight?
Tired.
Oh yeah, brother.
That's that kind of excitement I like to see from our guests right there, DJ.
This is why you're a guest, nerd.
Let's get this over with before I pull a Ryan.
That would be great. Now you just made me want to, I just want to make this like a marathon cast now so that that can happen. You can have your own little club of
boring
people who fall
asleep.
What's
pull a Ryan mean? Does it mean fall asleep or does it mean quit the cast forever? Because I'd be cool with both of those.
Wow. My assumption was fall asleep, but it could be both. I think in reality, we give DJ shit for being the sub-host or the guest or whatever, but Jason was never officially brought on either.
Oh.
Yeah, we went back 200 episodes. Yeah.
That is a good point. I just sort of showed up.
It was like episode like 7 or something, right?
I was like a guest on like 6 and 10 or something like that.
Yeah,
and
then Ryan was like, this is my minion. Yeah. This is my protege minion person. He's an asshole, but he can come on the cast and we'll talk about stuff.
Then I surpassed him.
And then we never got rid of you.
Hey, the listener email, the Patreon email for tonight references me as one of the top 20 guests that we've had. So
read it.
I'm a pretty big
that
deal.
Is so good. Read it.
Do we want to just read that at the top?
Read it right now. That's incredible.
That's what we're doing. From Matt DiMaggio, hey Brew Crew and DJ, when I first got back into Magic 4 or 5 years ago, I thought I was being smart by saving a bunch of sealed product from each set as it came out. Yeah, didn't we all? As it turns out, that wasn't a good investment. F you, Dragon's Maze. Looking back, I think this was a case of people being greedy when others were also being greedy.
Read the part where you're a top 20 guest. That's all I want to hear.
I'm getting to it. If the conventional wisdom back then was that sealed product was a safe investment, my sense today is that the opposite is true. I rarely hear people advocate buying and saving sealed boxes, FU Eternal Masters. My question is, does that indicate an opportunity? Have we reached a point where enough people are down on sealed product that it could end up being valuable down the line, at least for certain sets?
Counter signaling.
Love the cast and happy to have found it again after thinking it got canceled last year. Kudos to whoever thought to bring DJ on as a guest. He's easily one of the top 20 guests you've had on the show, and I hope you consider having him on again in a few months, Matt. Wait. P.S. Not for reading on the podcast. We're going to read this on the podcast. Seriously, though, DJ is excellent and a worthy addition to the show.
DJ, it's not nice to make up things and attribute them to listeners.
He didn't say that last part. I'm reading the email right now. I have it open in my browser, and he didn't say that part. Why are you lying?
That's kind of messed up, bro.
You know, I can screenshot it and post it on the BSB Twitter.
But you won't.
Because I have access to that.
But yeah, I have Photoshop also.
Look, just because you're like a decade younger than us and know how to hack Twitter accounts.
Tell me more about the war, Grandpa.
Let me tell you, back in the day, man, I traded for lieges. And you know what? People didn't know they were worth money, DJ. And that's how you became rich.
It's true.
I think my birth certificate is like printed on the back of a mana reflection.
Okay. Cool joke.
You're a kid. I'm going to be a cool kid too, though, because I just bought a DS in Pokemon today.
That's embarrassing, dude.
No, it's not. Dude, I have 2 trips to Europe this year, dude. I need something to do on airplanes.
That almost covers the cost of the 3 Lilianas that you threw in the garbage.
I don't think I threw them in the garbage.
Corbin threw Lilianas in the garbage, listeners.
Friday night at the store, it's crazy. It's Modern Masters release. We had
great story.
Shut up. Right. It is a good story. We had 50 people there drafting, so it's insane, right? I get done opening my case. I have no Lilianas, but I got 2 Tarmogoyfs, a bunch of not fetches, whatever. They were good, very good boxes. But then some guy walks in with a collection, and he's a friend of mine. I like him, but I had no idea he was coming in with this much stuff. And I start working on it, and I'm trying to draft Modern Masters that night. So I get through most of the collection. It has its own play set of Lilianas from Innistrad in it, whatever. It was a giant collection. Then I draft, and I open a Liliana, then I open a Tarmogoyf, then in my prize packs after I easily win the draft with blue-black control, I open another Liliana. So then I have three Lilianas, and I'm because we bought one, and I'm like, well, I'm supposed to set these back for someone, but I don't know when he's going to be in here. So I don't know if I should take him home with me or leave him at the store. And now they're neither. They're nowhere. And now I don't know. I have no more Lilianas. I don't know what happened. So the moral of this story is don't sort collections at 4 a.m. and don't lose Lilianas. Also draft as well as me.
Also, Corbin sucks at telling stories.
That whole story was to talk about how good I am at opening packs, just so you know.
It's all right.
I deserved that, right? I deserved to open Liliana and then Domri and then Tarmogoyf.
You deserve something.
That's true. That's a good point. Anyway, the question about sealed product. I think that what happened with sealed product and what baited a lot of people into thinking it was a good investment was the explosion in player base and the fact that there was just so much of a difference between the amount of people who played in 2005 or whatever compared to the amount of people who played in 2010 and 2011. And all those, it was so easy at the time to look and say, look, all these box prices went up without realizing that it really had more to do with the player base and the number of people. And this is a really relevant point. The amount of reprints that they did in 2010, 2011, compared to the amount of reprints they do in 2017 is absurdly different. You know, a lot of those boxes were worth so much money because the cards inside had never been reprinted and uncommons were worth $5 all over the place. And everything was worth a ton of money, not to mention, you know, just because of it's not just the not as many were set back from speculators or there were more people playing. It's just the cards in them were worth more value because there wasn't master sets printed every year full of those cards and commander sets every year. There was a core set that didn't contain a lot of those cards from expansions. It was sort of the same core set stuff every other year or whatever. And that was it. And that's the recipe for exploding sealed product prices. And honestly, today, I don't think that it's an opportunity because other people aren't looking at it that way. There's still just too much out there. And we're on like, we're not on From the Vault, you know, 5 through 10 now. We're on From the Vault 50 or whatever, right? There's a million different, there's all these different products. So even the collecting aspect of it that would drive up the price of some of that stuff just isn't there because there's just more. It's sort of like we talked about Planeswalkers last week. Those were great investments when 30 Planeswalkers existed because people wanted to own them all. Now that there's 130, it's much less so. And the same product applies to, the same principle applies to sealed product as a whole.
I think the one small exception to this is just stuff like the Atraxa deck, though. Like, if you can just still find those at Target for, like, 35, you can still scoop them up. And you can get stupid amounts for these on, like, TCG Player. Because somebody messaged me on Twitter, and they're like, hey, I bought an Atraxa deck at Walmart. What the hell do I do with it? And I was like, I don't know. Sell it on Facebook or list it on TCG Player. And he sent me a message, like, 48 hours later of him selling out on TCG Player for, like, $80. And I was like, what the hell?
So, Jason, what's the price on, say, let's say, the original Commander and then whatever the year after original Commander was, 2012 or 2013 or whatever. Are those sealed products worth a lot more now?
Like, the original Commander is worth a deck load.
The original set is worth a lot more. Like, the 2011, all of those decks are worth a lot more just because they're the first print run and they were not printed to demand. The Wizards underestimated the demand for those.
So what was the first Commander set after that? Was it 2013?
13. Okay. Yeah, you can get all five decks for, like, $200.
So, which is not that far above retail, right?
Not really.
So they have not paid off.
I'm sitting on a bunch sealed, and it's just like...
Yeah, I'm looking at 2013 eBay completed listing.
I did that too. Like, I had a bunch
I'm out of Primal Vigors, and then I just cracked a bunch of Jund decks. So, like, I'm out of True Name Nemesis, is crack some Grixis decks. Like, I gave up on those a while
ago. Yeah, there's just like standing stuff, huh? Buy it now 160s on eBay. So,
yeah, it's like, but compare that to like buy it now 650 for the original Commanders.
Yeah, I mean, that's an issue of the printing. But it's, I mean, that's the anomaly, right? The Commander 2013 is the norm.
Yeah, yes, exactly. So. Like, every year is like that. It's like basically $200 for all five.
Right. So you know, this is
just,
not...
Just because they just underprint.
So it's like the Atraxa deck. Yeah, I mean, go buy it at Walmart for MSRP, sell it because it's worth more right now is great. But, you know, that doesn't necessarily...
No, it's not like a long-term hold.
Right, right. Nah. So the conventional wisdom... of back then is not coming back around, you know. The conventional wisdom of it's not worth it appears to hold true.
Correct.
Yeah. Even like From the Vault 20, that would be something you'd expect maybe, you know, might have appreciated. Let's look that one up.
That, I'm pretty sure that's $100 like close to the... Like
they way overprinted it, though. They printed that more than any FTV ever.
Looks like $100.
Maybe it went up a little bit just because Jace went up recently, but like...
Well, Jace went up. I don't think anyone was busting FTVs just to get spec Jaces. Like, I think they're just a lot of loose Jaces.
No, but I'm saying that, like, Jace is still at, like, 70 now, though, where he was at, like, 50 a couple weeks ago, and you might be able to pick up cheap FTVs just because of that.
Yeah, but no one's going to buy the Jace because people were just buying him thinking he was going to get unbanned. So, like, there's actual demand at the new price.
I agree.
So you're just going to eat it.
Yeah, I agree with that entirely. It's Jace might get unbanned one day, but it's going to keep spiking in the meantime.
Yeah, which is why I think it's fine.
Yeah.
Like, people will always think it's going to get unbanned, which is... It's like the Stoneforge graph in the past 3 years.
Right.
Where, like,
Bloodbraid, too.
You have an opportunity to buy Stoneforge at 10, sell it at 20 in January, and then wait a year, buy them at 10, sell them at 12. Like, that happened for 3 years until it finally got the GP printing and crushed it. I think you could do something a little similar with Jace.
Yeah, it's
a lot
dumb,
of work.
Man.
It's a lot of work. I mean, the other is if it actually ever does get, you know, if it does get unbanned, then it's $200 overnight.
Like $800.
Well, unless you don't, because you've sold them to speculators in the month before the announcement.
Oh, boy.
Which is still making money.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying it's bad. It's just...
Sell enough to speculators to have a bunch of free copies so you can look like a genius.
Yeah, there you go. Convert it back into more. Okay, hit us with the next email.
I think that was...
Sander.
Oh, yeah. All right, how do I even introduce
him? He's a super fan. He is the super fan.
Yeah.
Yes, this is an email from Super Fander Xander Z.
Close.
Yeah. Who's been listening to the podcast for an unsettling amount of time. And you can get a sort of a feel for the relationship between Sander and Jason from this email. They're long distance relationship.
Sander is Dutch, correct?
I don't know, Jason.
I don't want to know too much about him, and then have you guys be like, see? I have mailed something to him. That's true.
Sander has been sending us crazy emails for years. It's great. Let's hear it.
And he's cut clips of the podcast multiple times.
Yeah,
and
that's
created his
legitimately
own after-hour
awesome.
Segments. Why don't you love me anymore, Jason? We used to have it all. Over 200 episodes together. You as the talent, me as the fifth strike through third official host. But even now you turn your gaze upon the man that isn't me, your super Fander Z. No disc jockey could ever think to replace what we have. Remember the good old days where the sun set over the hills of that signified our time together? The monkey coming out of the sleeve as we gazed off into the distance, ? I don't even know what that means.
They're Dutch idioms, man. They're Dutch idioms. We don't know what they mean either.
Even then you had a finger in the soup that was our connection. Will you ever come back to me, Jason? I swear I will change. Even my fish can go. I don't care. You couldn't hear them properly anyway. I will even love EDH like you do. I will love life like you do. Let us raise even more planeswalkers aside from Liliana. I think I can get us a very cute Kaya from the adoption center. They're in abundance, and every couple that isn't getting their own kid wants a Kaya. We can make this work. Please, Jason, why won't you love me anymore?
Jason, what did you do to Sander?
He sounds a little bit jilted.
What did you do to this man? Come on.
This is going to turn into a Dear Stan situation real quick.
That was quite the dated reference from you, DJ. I like it.
Yeah, that song was popular before you were born.
Wow. What did you? I want to need the story now. What did you do to Sander?
I don't know, man. Uh-huh. I think I had.
You better find out.
I think I had a baby in a heterosexual relationship, and he's like, "No, there was a chance."
Man, thank you for the email, Sander. It's great too because he sent me a message on Twitter. He's like, "I sent an email. You're look forward to it." And yep, that was
Sander's cut of episode 200's done already. We're still waiting on Marcel's.
Yeah. It all started however many hundreds of episodes ago or whatever, because Sander sent us an email and we read it, and it was full of like Dutch idioms that none of us understood what any of them meant. Finger in the soup being one of them. So we like had to put a call out, you know, for him to explain to us what the hell the things he was saying meant. So you have to keep in mind we're combining Marcelisms with Dutch idioms, and that's a recipe for something.
That's a recipe for a soup that's got fingers in it.
I don't even remember the rest of them, but God, they were good.
Something about a monkey coming out of a sleeve and...
Yeah.
That was a good time.
All right, let's moving on from that email somehow. We'll do our best to anyways.
Yeah, let's, the podcast let's call it early.
Let's go let's break bulk. Let's break in bulk. It's been a little bit.
Breaking bulk time. Breaking bulk time. Break.
Breaking bulk champion.
Breaking the bulk. I'm so fucking tired.
Breaking the bulk.
Shut up.
You're not allowed to fucking say fuck, dude. You're not a real host. You gotta earn that.
Too tired to argue with you.
Fucking asshole.
Oh my god. Talk about how tired you are some more. It's not petulant. Don't worry.
Alright, let's see if what kind of DJ, why don't you go ahead and lead us off then? What kind of breaking bulk do you have for your tired state?
Oh, I would breaking bulk, but I'm too sleepy.
Hey, man, pretty I'm good. Young. I gotta...
You should
Did
have
you not
all
get
the energy,
a nap this
man.
Afternoon?
You should have all the energy.
He's already in his sleep sack with his pacifier, just waiting for this podcast to end.
All right, I have a mythic from Commander 2014 that has
a mythic breaking bulk.
Yeah, it's not a. It's something that a lot of people think is a bulk mythic, but isn't.
Okay, I like it.
What color is it?
Green.
It's from, I'm sorry, what set did you say?
2014. Saying it's green gives it away for Jason, but...
I don't know, I don't care about Commander, man. Arachnogenesis.
That's not a mythic rare, you idiot.
Whatever, it was worth a shot. Did I get it right? No,
it's Praetor's Council, probably.
Not even the right year.
It's Praetor's Council. The card's like $250 now. And like I've been throwing these into dollar boxes for like years just because it was a bulk mythic in Mirrodin Besieged. They got like kicked again.
No, it wasn't.
By the reprint. Yeah,
what?
Yeah.
No, it was $3. That's why if you told me Mirrodin Besieged, I might have got it because this was not bulk. It was even back then it was a card people thought was bulk, but it was worth a few bucks. And the reprint's what shipped it back down
to being
poop, but when it was in Mirrodin Besieged, it was great.
Yeah, I made some money on this card. I don't know what you
it's climbed back up since then.
Yeah,
so. Well yeah, I mean predictably. We didn't know how long it would take. It took a lot longer than I thought it might.
It did take a long time.
3 years is not what I predicted.
I never see this played anymore either, but it looks like it's making some moves.
One of those cards. I like it.
There's a bunch of other 8-mana green spells that are just better, I guess, but like it's still like you can.
And there's more no maximum hand like, size cards too. Yeah. So.
Well, plus you got to build your deck a goofy way to get. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's still.
That is a good
it's
one.
Still
though.
Very Timmy-esque.
Yeah.
Still very Timmy-esque, and you can. It's just the kind of card that like if trading is still a thing at your LGS, you can be like, hey, give me that for $1. And they're like, all right, whatever. And then, like, you go to some casual player and you're like, this card's only $2. They're like, what? What? And then you're like, yep. And then you double your money. It's that easy.
I messed up. I, like, sold everything except the stuff in my Show Them Your Dick binder and how, like, nobody... I show them that binder and they're like, yeah, cool. Do you have any cards? I sold too much stuff, man.
Talking about the expensive stuff, no one cares about it.
Yeah. I was like, I want magic cards. And I'm like, You don't want German foil merchant scroll? Come on. So, yeah, I sold all my real cards. So, I don't really trade. I gotta buy cards. I gotta go buy cards if I want to trade. Shit's real weird out there in the streets. I'm selling too aggressively in my case, I guess. So, those are the problems you want to have, I guess?
Those are good problems to have, yes.
So, cool. Magic's weird. I got a break in bulk pick for you guys. Okay. This is one I found while picking. All my break in bulk lately has just been picking and just looking shit up and just being really surprised. Because I used to think I knew picks, but, like, it's changed, man.
It does change. You have to keep up with it. I've thought that a few times as well and then been surprised one way or another.
Well, and then stuff is not picks, too. It's like, wow, exactly. That's not a pick anymore. So, this card has been reprinted, and it still costs as much. It's very similar to Mutagenic Growth, and it's the same price almost as Mutagenic Growth. But it's
Groundswell.
Groundswell. Corbin got it. Invigorate was a good. Invigorate got crushed, man. The Modern Masters 2 printing.
Yeah, that's why I was confused. I was like, "There's wait, it's not Modern Masters. It's an Eternal Masters."
Yeah, that's what I meant. The Modern Masters.
That's fine.
The Modern Masters with Force of Will in it. Yeah. So
yeah, Groundswell's in my spec box.
Yeah, it's pretty like Vines of the Vastwood, Groundswell, Mutagenic Growth. That stuff's going to be pretty decent. Like, well, probably one more reprinting or two more reprintings on some of those in their bone, but, like...
I think Groundswell might be done anyways.
It's, like, 70...
thick at the Nyssa versus Omnixilis.
Yeah, well, it was 75 cents, though.
Yeah, it was in Zendikar versus Eldrazi. But, I mean, a lot of these cheap punt spells, like Vines of the Vastwood, you know, is another one sort of in the same vein. They were all predicated on Infect, and Infect has completely fallen out of the modern metagame right now. And it's a resilient deck. I'm sure it'll be back, etc. They'll probably do Infect again at some point in the future.
Oh, I don't know, man. Pardon the pun, but that's a pretty toxic archetype, and I don't think they...
I mean, it is. The thing is, I think it was very good and limited. Like, Wither was great, and I think Infect was made for a very interesting limited environment.
Wither is sort of a very different mechanic. Because Wither made combat miserable, but it didn't punish you for stumbling the way Infect
right,
does.
I mean, yeah. And I think that, well, that's in Limited, they had very similar ways they played out and just in the way combat worked. But there's an upper limit on how many Infect cards you can print without completely breaking the archetype. I mean,
well, yeah,
it was in, like, two sets, and it's already broken, so...
Plus, all those pump spells are competing for deck slots, even if there is a deck.
Well, and that's like, the thing is that
you got to run the best one or the best two. And it's like Become Immense gets banned, maybe, and then something. I don't know.
Well,
so
I mean, Groundswell basically got replaced by Blossoming Defense. Like, you don't see Groundswell much anymore.
Yeah, but I mean,
and I think that like I think if I find these. Like for and this is a real question because, like I said, I have a bunch in the spec box along with Vines of Asswood, Immunogenic Growth, and all this stuff. And I think it like if you find a decent price on them, you get rid of them. You don't hold on to them thinking that, oh, it's going to keep going up. It's one reprint away from being dead, or it might just be dead in 6 months anyways. It might be back down to, you know, 50 cents and then a dime on buy list at best, which is still fine. But
no,
you know, it's a far cry from the dollar it was before.
You ship them, and that's why it's a pick. I don't know what you're doing with picks, but I'm just putting them in a box and writing
Thomas Dodd's
name on them.
I mean, I do the same most of the time, but Groundswell, like I said, was an interesting one because it had a lot of momentum. You know, there's a real possibility of it becoming not the next
Immense,
you know, Might of Old Krosa, but the next, you know, Vines of Vastwood before the reprint or whatever, where it was like $3. So. It was sort of a legitimate question, but yeah, I think Groundswell might not even be a pick a year from now.
Yeah, so get them all out of that bulk now and just get rid of them. Just make way, get rid of them. I mean, that's what I'm doing with that stuff anyway. I like money right now. So just get some money for your cards.
All right, I've got a land for you guys. been reprinted a bunch in a bunch of Commander sets, and in Modern Masters 2015.
Oh. It's an Rupture Spire?
Nope.
No. Don't give it away. Don't give it away.
I'm gonna try my best. It's hard not to give it away.
Matt can cut in some Jeopardy crap or something.
Wait, you said Modern Masters 2015?
Yes.
And it's a land.
And it's been in three Commander sets, as well as a Plane Chase set and another set. And it's part of a cycle.
Is it one of the Vivid lands?
No.
Well, the cycles in command in that set were there was the bounce lands.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
the Dimir one.
Yes, it is. It's Dimir Aqueduct.
Yeah, the Dimir Signet went nut too.
Yep, that's what I wanted to call attention to. Yeah, Dimir Aqueduct is 75 cents. Dimir Signet is like $2 at some point, right?
I think it was just the Plane Chase one or something goofy. Like
yeah. Before the most recent Modern Masters printing, the Aqueduct was like $1.50 or $2. It was super dumb.
Yeah, like, and Dimir Signet, while we're on the subject, its original reprinting, or the original print of Ravnica is at an all-time high of $1.50. Archenemy and Commander ones are $2.50. And then the Modern Masters 2017 is 75 cents. So just throwing it out there now, set these back for later. But yeah, Aqueduct, like, I was surprised. I mean, it's been reprinted. It has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 printings. I'm sure one of them's Anthology, one of them's Plane Chase. Original.
One of them is still. Modern Masters 2015, where it was printed at Uncommon. So it's a set where there weren't a ton of packs, and then it was Uncommon on top of it.
Right, and obviously it was from Ravnica, where it was, a Common. But yeah, 75 cents, a lot of them out there. You know, I see Modern Masters 2 bulk all the time, so worth noting.
Yeah, and people see that card and know how many times it's been printed. They don't even pull that out anymore.
Yeah, you just assume none of them are picks.
There's some people who think, like, oh, the other nine aren't picks, right. So, like, why should I? Yeah, but, like, and the reason the blue-black one is worth the most is because those are the colors that care the least, or they care the most about having, like, a land that taps for two because they're not green. Like, every other color has a lot more access to those, like, ramp effects and those, like, mana acceleration effects.
Interesting.
It's because terrible players play Dimir.
I mean, like, Simic Growth Chamber is above 50 cents as well from that one. None of the others, I think, are.
Are buy lists on Simic Growth Chamber, like, actually viable, though?
I haven't looked recently. I'm not sure. I take all this stuff and throw it in a 50-cent mana-fixing box to sell to Commander players in my store. So it's been a long time since I've actually buy listed any of them, but...
It's a good idea. I should do that.
I made packages that had
Guild Gates in there.
I had one Guild Gate, one Bounce Land, one Key Rune, and one Signet, and I sold it for like $2.50.
Wait, Corbin, you sell Guild Gates for, or Corbin, you sell Guild Gates for 50 cents a piece?
I mean, I have no idea how many of the Guild Gates sell. What I do is I take every Guild Gate or gain one life tapped land or try land.
No, I know, but you throw those in a 50-cent box.
Yeah.
You're a price gouger.
Am I? I have no idea how much that stuff sells. People value their time, man. Do they want to look through a 5,000-count box to try to find some lands? Or do they want to pay 50 cents to get the 10 lands they need for their deck? Like,
don't have too many prices, man.
Yeah, like, consider the amount of time it would take for me to charge 10 cents for some of those, 25 cents for some of those, 50 cents for some of those. Think of the space it takes to either put those in different boxes or the... You know, the time it takes to sticker, all that crap. No, when I'm picking, I just pull them all out. I make a big pile of them. I throw them in the 50-cent box.
No, I just do Guild Gates separate. And, like, I normally ship, I used to ship them off to Thomas for, like, 5 cents a piece, but.
And it's just throw it all together, right? If people buy it, they buy it. If they don't, who cares? And if anyone ever wants to be like, well, here's 10 of them. Can you only charge me for 5? I'm sure, man, whatever, right? Like, you're not doing it to make money. I mean, you are, right? But you're not making. The amount of Guild Gates I sell is like literally irrelevant to any sort of function of the store. You just do it as a service to those super casual players who don't want to spend even $4 or whatever on their pain land. They're certainly not spending $40 on a fetch land or whatever, right? It's just. It's something that gets a super casual crowd in there and gives them something to do and gets them in the store. And it's very, takes very little upkeep. But yeah, anyway, so moral of the story, pick bounce lands. At least the blue black one. And possibly the blue green one. All right, so let's talk Modern Masters 3. We've spent a lot of time on Modern Masters 2. Did you guys get a chance to go out and draft or sealed or whatever with Modern Masters 2017?
I just said I drafted it, that's all. I did.
My boxes were delayed over the weekend because of the snowstorm that the Northeast got. So I didn't get to open on release day like everyone else. But I did open two boxes a couple hours ago. One box had three good fetch lands, two damnations, and a foil spell pierce.
It's pretty good.
A couple other things I'm missing. Like a couple other like $5 to $10 cards or whatever, like some paths and all that. And then the other box had a foil snapcaster, a Linvala, another damnation, and another Mysterian Forest. That was pretty good.
I did better. I opened a case and I did better on this case than I have in a long time opening. I mean, I opened 7 boxes of Aether Revolt, got one masterpiece. It was a Black Vise. I opened 4 boxes of Modern Masters 2017, whatever. I got a full Scalding Tarn. I got a play set of Damnations. I got 2 Tarmogoyfs, 3 Gifts Ungiven. Like, it was very good. But I mean, what are your guys' now that we've actually sort of opened packs, get a feel for what it looks like when you're looking at a pack of this? You know, what do we think about it, both from, you know, perspective of a set, having played it, and perspective of, like, how the value is distributed?
That was a really boring question. I'm sorry.
Well, I think it's worth it. I think it's an interesting topic because of Modern Masters 2015 and how sort of bad it was, right? It was derided as this lottery ticket, and that's...
Yeah, it was bad because it was all top-heavy, and right. All the value was concentrated in the mythics, and the rares were garbage.
Right.
So if you got a box with, like, a Goyf and a Click, you were all set. And if you got a box with, I don't remember what the bad mythics were, Kiki Jiki and...
Comet Storm,
then you sucked.
Well,
so.
And I think that was a major point of concern for them. I mean, so do... Are you happy with the current distribution of value in this now that we're a few days into prices for it?
I mean, out of the two boxes I opened, I was impressed by the distribution of uncommons and commons. I mean, that's a very DJ thing to say, but like if I was opening a box from the perspective of somebody who was trying to play Modern, there were very few packs where I felt like, oh, I opened nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So like even when I was able to flip through the commons and the uncommons, it's like, oh, there's a Spell Pierce and a Soul Ward and a Burning Tramissary in here. I don't feel as bad because there's like $1.52 of value in here in terms of like trade value. Or it'd be like, oh, there's a Wall of Denial and a Path. I guess that's fine, even though my rare is like Mind Shatter. So, but like, I felt like there was a very high distribution of good playable commons and uncommons. And even when you get crap rares, like, what's the stupid blue white instant that like bounces something or whatever?
The
Aether
something
touch something.
Yeah.
That wasn't rare.
Like, yeah, it was.
No.
Aether Mage's Touch was a rare, I know, because
confirmed.
My foil rare.
Looking at it, yep.
Oh my god, really?
Yep. I looked at it and I was like, oh, that's a foil one. Oh god, this is my foil rare in the box. So yeah, that's a rare. But
brutal. Thought that,
like,
was uncommon.
You feel less bad. Yeah, you feel less bad when that's your foil rare when you see Path, Wall of Denial, Burning Tree Emissary, Spell Pierce, and Soul Ward and all in the same pack.
Yeah.
So that was something I was impressed about. And then, like, the rest of the set's obviously pretty good, too.
Yeah, I agree. But also, it wasn't... obviously, like, Spell Pierce is a great one, but even just being able to get... And that was my biggest complaint with the last one, is that they missed on the common and uncommons, and it made it feel terrible, even if you throw out the rares. It was like, why... My big thing is, why the hell did we not get Serum Visions at Modern Masters 2015? It was like a $7 common at the time. Like, how do you... Could you possibly miss that? And this time, they got all of it.
They missed Mitra's Bauble. It wasn't eligible.
Expected the FNM promo to make up that. Because the back then was like, the set came out in May, and then Serum Visions was like July's FNM promo or something. And I think they expected that to take up a lot of the slack.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible.
Like, that was a big, like, get people into get butts into seats for F&M because it's Serum Visions kind of thing. And that dropped the price from like 15 to like 6 or something like that at the time.
Yeah, it certainly had a cumulative effect. Also, I think people just sort of realized, like, this is going to get reprinted sooner rather than later. We're not going to, you know, it's absurd to pay this much for a common. But yeah, I mean, that's, they did, you know, yeah, Mishra's Bauble probably should have been in the set at Rare. It was possible to see that one coming. But like everything else of this, I think they did very well on. I mean, Might of Old Krosa was a big one. Flicker Wisp is quietly a big one. Even Terminate. The Signets were in there. Fixed that one from being like a $3 Signet randomly. But like Molten Rain is a card that was a pick of the week for us at some point because it spiked up to like $3 or something. $2, I guess, yep. Looking at it now, $2.50. I'm very happy with the set as a whole. And playing it, it felt pretty crazy too because there's so many downshifted rarities in this.
Oh yeah, I was surprised at like the Selesnya thing, the creature, the Scion of the Wild or whatever.
Let's see.
The green white 3 drop where it's like power and toughness equal the creature.
Oh, Loxodon.
Populate.
No, not Loxodon.
It's like an elemental thing.
It looks like Wayfarer something.
Yeah.
Wayfaring Temple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny because I opened up a pack that like had 3 uncommons that used to be rares.
Yeah.
And so I was like, wow, it's Gaia's Anthem, that elemental thing, and something else. I don't remember, but...
Well, it's a very... And did you also have the beetle that went downshifted from rare to common?
I got a foil one, which I was hyped about because I used to play it in Sovereign, and it's kind of a pet card for me.
Sweet. Your little pet beetle. Now, they downshifted a lot of stuff, and that means the power level of the set is very high. I know we were talking about this before the cast a little bit, but... I drafted a blue-black control deck, splashing another downshifted card, Sidraxis Spectre, which was absurd in Grixis deck in Alara and is now an uncommon. But it seemed like it was pretty fun. Overall, my impression of this compared to basically everything from Modern Masters 2015 is that it's better in every way.
Yeah, better value, better... playability. It's just a better set. They know what they're doing by now, which is good. You would like to see that from your company.
Yeah, I mean, I think they should have known what they were doing then too, to be fair. Like Modern Masters 1 was good. They forgot all the lessons they could have learned from that. So this is probably the most important thing to talk about from this set though. When it came out, we saw honestly prices that shocked me. Like there were like $19 Arid Mesas. And what's been really interesting is since Friday, and I know because I priced all my stuff Friday, I was like, it's insane how low this stuff is. Like Tarmogoyf for like $72 or something, at TCG market price. Since then, and this will be a week later for everyone listening, it's 4 days later for us recording, prices have gone back up, despite sort of what you'd expect, you know? You'd think everybody is opening these right now, the prices should be going down. But no, Tarmogoyf has gone from like $75 to $84 market price. What do you guys, I mean, has it already bottomed out? Like, what do we possibly make of this?
I think
there's still a lot of time for people to open this, I think.
Yeah, it's really hard to draw any conclusions right now.
I mean, because there'll be some people who, like, ordered a bunch of boxes or cases off eBay, and then those ship on the day on Friday. And then those don't get here until, like, Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever, but, like...
Okay.
I don't know.
So, I mean, do you think that the prices are going to go up from here, or are they going to go back down to where they were last week?
I think it depends on the current EV of the box, which I don't have in front of me. But like, if the current EV of the box is more than like 220 or 210 or whatever, like the average EV of the entire box, and you can get box for that price, then prices will go down, right? I don't know what the current EV of the box is.
I don't have it in front of me either. I'm
I think
not
box
sure.
Price matters because I think people were like, they're gonna rely on popping these cards out of boxes rather than buying them as singles, I guess.
I mean, I don't know. I think we usually only discuss that as it's relevant to dealers, and the distributor price is $150 on a box, so I'm not sure if that's if that, I mean, obviously the EV plays a role in it, but we're seeing boxes still at 190, right? So
I really didn't expect to see this. It kind of threw me.
Yeah.
Where are you seeing prices at 190?
I mean, there were people who were like, hey, it was still at 190. I mean, I don't have it in front of me because obviously it's not, I haven't been buying them, but
right.
Let me look here.
Because I know I saw something about Mass Drop having them for 190 over the weekend, but I'm pretty sure that like sold out or filled up real quick.
I mean,
I don't know.
They're, it looks like they're 190 on TCG Player with $10 shipping, or 200 without, right? So, and there's a bunch available at that 200 price point. So, I don't know. Here's my take on it. I think that a lot of people, I think that the prices last week were indicative of the race to the bottom you'd expect, of dealers opening them, trying to get theirs out there, blah, blah, blah. I think that a lot of players bought boxes of this. I think they opened their boxes to see what they would get. They open their box, they get a Scalding Tarn and a Tarmogoyf or whatever, and they, you know, work what they need to work with what they have, do their trading at FNM, and then they say, well, now I'm going to go finish my sets of my fetch lands because they're cheap, and I'm going to do it. And I think we're seeing the rebound, the slight rebound as a result of that, of people finishing out their sets here. And I think that a lot of people saw this as an opportunity to buy in. And I think that that accounts for the increase here. What I think is also true is, like you said, there's a lot of time left, and there's more coming. We're already getting a second wave from our distributor of boxes here. There's a lot of this is going to be opened. I think that prices a month from now will be lower than they are now, but it's still really interesting that they're higher today than they were a week ago before the set came out.
Didn't the same thing happen with Conspiracy 2?
Yes. But, well, obviously with, like, Leovold it did.
What happened? It was Inquisition 2, because I remember you could buy Inquisitions for, like, $4 for, like, a weekend or whatever, and then by Monday they were back up to $8.
Yeah, that's true. It's interesting, because those actually did not go back up. Or back down, but... I mean, I think we'll know enough, and this is obviously really important to everyone out there who's saying, when should I buy in? And I think that, you know, you can wait a few weeks to see what the prices do to make up your mind.
Well, buy them if you need them. Like, if you've been waiting this long to play with them, you can get $60 lilies instead of $90 lilies, so I don't think the price difference in the next 3 weeks will be big enough to justify you waiting 3 weeks if you want them to play with them. So.
That's fair.
Yeah, you're not going to save enough money to like offset how inconvenient it is not to have magic cards.
That's certainly a good point. It will be very as a case study with these sort of large run special sets when they used to be a lot more limited run. This will inform a lot, you know, when we get around to 2018 and whatever summer set we have then, assuming a similar print run to this. So there are lessons to be learned here. So you know, follow closely and keep an eye out on this over the next few months. All right, let's pick of the week before we get out of here, guys.
Hey, did you know that Shaquille O'Neal is a flat earther? That's my pick of the week.
Are you serious?
Yeah, Shaquille O'Neal.
I'm pretty sure this is all...
I don't know what's more surprising. Like, I don't know, man. Shaq looks like he calls every adult he knows coach. Like...
I don't know what that means. Shaq's actually awesome. I know you guys probably don't watch Inside the NBA, but...
Well, I mean, he seems like an entertaining, like, sort of, like, personality. But if you told me Michael Strahan was a flat earther, I'd be like, I absolutely believe you. Like, I won't even get out my phone to look that up.
Kyrie Irving is a flat earther?
Yeah.
But, dude, it's got to be a troll, right? There's no way.
I don't
serious.
Know, dude.
It's like
I
the
I have Hard a theory about this that I'm not going to say on this podcast, but...
Do it.
Nope.
Just say it.
So, I don't know, man. It's funny that Shaq is a flat earther. That's just it's funny to me.
I think it's like there was a... If you watch Hard Knocks on HBO, it's a show about training camp for the NFL, documentary style. It's pretty cool. Last year, they were with the LA Rams, and there was a player who flat out refused to believe that dinosaurs existed. Because, I don't know, man. Because how
religion.
Can we tell? If they existed 65 million years ago, how can we tell that they exist now? Because that was so long ago, sort of thing. Whatever, right? And so in the show, they take him to, like, the Museum of Natural Science or History, whatever, right? They take him to a museum. They have a guide who's explaining to him, you know, the existence of fossils. And the guy's basically like, yeah, you know what? No, it's just not a thing. And it just sort of seemed like a thing that he, like, he says and laughs about. And it's just sort of his thing. And, you know, if you put a gun to that guy's head and say, hey, do you believe in the science that tells you this existed or not? Are you willing to bet your life on the fact that they didn't or whatever, right? I think he'd probably be like, yeah, I understand what science is. I respect that because he's clearly an intelligent person. And I think that the flat earth thing is the same. It's just kind of this, like, I don't know if joke is the right word, but just sort of this thing that some NBA
Corbin,
players have decided to do.
Way too much hope and faith in humanity.
Maybe. But Kyrie Irving gets on planes, man. Like,
dude, that guy collides with people for a living. Do you really think?
Where do you...
Did he go to Yale on a football scholarship? He plays for the fucking Rams, dude. He's not even smart enough to like not go to the Rams.
Well, I don't, that's not how the draft works. Look, man, Kyrie Irving was born in Australia, all right?
Yeah.
I want to see where he went to college. He went to Duke.
Yeah,
the man got into Duke.
Go to the Flat Earth subreddit and post there like 5 or 6 times and then convince me that you still think that other people think it's a joke.
I don't think everyone thinks it's a joke. I think Kyrie Irving does. Or, like, there's... He is too. He has too much. He went
or
to Duke. There's no way.
He's really stupid. He went to Duke to play sports. He didn't even have to fucking go to class.
You still have
to
get into school.
What are you talking about?
You still have to get into school, man. Like, he has a college education. Like, if he thinks the Earth is flat, he can buy a plane and find
probably.
Out if it is flat. He can fly to that point of the Earth. He can fly a literal circle around the Earth because he's an NBA player. There's no way that this man truly believes the Earth is flat when it's so easy for him to prove himself wrong. Right? That's all I'm saying. I think it's just this thing that they've done, and it's just sort of a, you know, they can have fun with it, right? Because it's something different. That's my take. Maybe
people
I have too much faith in
to
humanity
you're just
and
telling,
want to believe.
You're telling young kids not to believe science. And that's what we want our sports people to be doing.
But see, if you listen to him and when he actually was asked about it, he doesn't come out vehemently against that. He says, look, man, a lot of people say a lot of things and you just don't know, right? There's a lot of stuff out there and I don't know. I think the Earth is flat. And it's really said like that. It's not like the science is clear. The Earth is flat. This is what I believe. This is a serious point in my life.
You cannot possibly suck up more to pro athletes.
That's I'm sucking up to pro. Okay. You must be right.
It's gross, man.
I just look at him. It's like, is it – these are all – and Shaq is a very intelligent person. He's
no,
made
he's
a lot
not.
Of
– Oh, my God.
Okay.
No, like he's borderline
retarded. He played
retarded.
Basketball, so he
he's
played basketball.
He's borderline
so he
retarded. Have you talked to Shaq?
Okay.
Oh, my God.
All right, yeah. Look at that man's post – look at his post-NBA career and the amount of intelligent moves he's made. And tell me that man is a dumbass. Come
hey, Shaq,
on.
We need you to go on television and talk about basketball. Okay. I think I can do that because that's the only thing I know anything about. Cool. Good job, Shaq.
You're shitting on basketball, period, because you don't like basketball.
Okay.
Like, the man has been very successful on and off the court. He is
I'm not
sitting here defending him
me,
as being the smartest person in the world, but he strikes me as someone too educated, intelligent, and around too many smart people in his life to truly believe that the Earth is flat.
It has nothing to do with basketball. Like, if you told me Sidney Crosby thought the Earth was flat, I'd be like, yeah, that's probably correct. That man's had a lot of concussions.
I don't know. It's weird.
It is weird.
DJ, are you awake?
It's real weird.
Yes, barely.
Okay. This is what you want
to talk
about.
About to give myself a concussion right now just to prevent that from...
You might wake up and believe that the Earth is flat.
Oh.
You might believe that people believe the Earth is flat, because Corbin's a there are flat Earth deniers denier.
I just think that these people are not you know the
dude.
The
if Shaq is smart, he's dumb. Like, where's the cutoff for dumb person? If Shaquille O'Neal is smart, to you?
That man's made a lot of good moves. Made a lot of good moves for someone who's so dumb, man.
He's got a. Channing Tatum's made a lot of good moves. And Channing Tatum looks like he literally just had a lobotomy. He looks like he calls every director coach. Like, Channing Tatum probably has a single-digit IQ. But he's rich, so he must be smart. If you told me that Channing Tatum didn't believe in dinosaurs, I'd be like, yep, don't bother taking him to a museum. It's not going to convince him.
Shaquille O'Neal has a doctorate.
He has an honorary doctorate
in kinesiology or some shit.
No,
he doesn't. He has a real doctorate.
In what?
Education.
From where?
Focusing on organizational learning and leadership from a Florida university. Let's see here. From Florida's Barry University.
Okay, so Shaquille O'Neal has more education than I do. Therefore, he's smarter. That you proved it. Shit, I got nothing.
He graduated with a 3.81 grade point average.
Yeah, you're gonna give Shaq a fucking C? He looks like his dick is bigger than your torso. You're not gonna give him a C? You're like, yeah, whatever. Whatever, I love Shazam or whatever that movie was called that everyone thought Sinbad was in. Whatever.
Yeah, that was actually really interesting.
He looks like his ball bag is where
that.
My face would be. Like, if I looked at him, like, my face would line up with his nuts. I'm not going to flunk that guy in an education class that three other people are taking. I'm just not going to do it. I'm sorry, Corbin. Shazam's... But you know what? I don't have a doctorate, so...
I agree.
I'm
confirmed.
Too dumb to call Shaq stupid, so confirmed. I'm gonna bow
when you've
out
starred,
of this argument.
When you've starred in a hit movie named Kazam, you can talk.
John Henry was a steel draft man.
Corbin, no one that stupid can have a Shaq Fu video game made after them.
Hey, you watch your mouth. Shaq Fu is my shit. I also like that movie where he played the dead Superman character.
What?
When Superman died, they spun, like, five characters, like Superboy, and one of them was Steel.
Steel? Yeah, I'm seeing this on Wikipedia.
He was in that movie.
Oh, I didn't know about this. Oh, this is funny.
You didn't know about Steel, or what?
I did not know.
Oh, dude, watch it. It's dog shit. Watch Steel and tell me you think Shaq is smart.
It has 12% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, he let them put his name on that. Yeah, I don't know, man. He's made some pretty good moves.
He's made a lot of good moves, though. Like, he's been very successful post-basketball career, and a lot of players are not.
Okay, so he's smart for a basketball player. That's a very
he's
low
smart
bar.
Enough. He's smart enough to know that the Earth is not flat. That's all this ever was.
Okay. Shaq smart. I'm undereducated. That's the kind of thing that you can get if you're a Brainstorm Brewery patron.
Oh, yeah. this was really just a
from patreon.com/brainstormbrewery. I think we've got the go-ahead to start shipping out those pint glasses, so I'm going to need addresses.
All right, let's do Pick of the Week.
Pick of the Week. Pick of the Week. Pick of the Week. Time for the Pick of the Week.
Let's do Pick of the Week.
All right, guys. Pick of the Week time. Who wants to go first? Can I be late to the party and say Pact of Negation?
Yeah. Why don't you,
Only if mine can be Street Wraith.
Did that spike too?
Street Wraither!
Sweet.
I got busted for Street Wraithing.
Oh gosh, it did spike. Well, that does.
My dad took away my keys. He's like, "No more street wraithing. You're gonna crash and hurt somebody."
I think Death Shadow might get banned.
Oh, that would be so funny.
That would be
right up there with having Nacatl on the ban list. But that deck is really, really good and really hard to play against. Like, it doesn't have a lot of weaknesses. So I don't know.
It's crazy we live in a world for where, like, having to deal yourself 10 damage isn't considered a weakness.
The tech against Death Shadow is Fiery Justice.
I love that.
It's a card. It's Naya colors. It deals 5 damage as you choose, instant speed. But an opponent gains 5 life. So it's actually kind of good against it. The problem that, I mean, that deck is a legacy deck. That's like a legacy Delver deck that doesn't need Delver. It's so right, low to the ground.
My pick of the week is an M11 instant, and it's red. And it's a common.
Is it Lightning Bolt?
Nope.
It's not Lightning Bolt.
Nope. It's an M11 common instant.
M11. You know Lightning Bolt's an M11 common instant, right?
Pyretic Ritual.
Yes. There you go, Corbin. God, I knew the modern player would come out.
Pyretic Ritual just got reprinted in Mind Versus.
Nope. No.
Nope.
Oh, is it Desperate Ritual?
Yep.
Ooh.
That is why I'm picking Pyretic Ritual.
That is interesting.
That and the fact that, like, Gift Storm is actually apparently really good right now. Nice. I don't know. I don't play Magic. But Gift Storm is apparently really good. Mana Morphos just went to, like, $6 or something silly. Yeah. And, like, the deck is super cheap after Modern Masters 2017 because Past of Flame is going to be a bulk rare. Goblin Electromancer, Gifts Ungiven, Pyromancer Ascension.
Yeah.
All these cards are basically bulk rares. And Pyretic Ritual has seen one... Count it. One. M11 printing. That's it. So, buy them.
Yeah, that seems really solid.
It's a compelling argument.
I had very similar logic in my pick. I was looking at that deck myself, and Jouar of the Gitu is in that deck. And if more people are turned on to that card and realize how unfair it is...
Wait. How did you pronounce it?
Jouar of the Gitu.
Is that how you pronounce it?
I don't know how to pronounce it. I've always called it Jouar.
I always thought it was Joyra.
Joyra?
Could be. I have no idea.
It rhymes with Moira.
I always thought it was Joyra.
Okay. Whatever, man. She's from Scourge. Dude, she's in that deck, and guess what? If people get turned on to that deck, they'll see how unfair that deck is, because you just go, hey, I'm going to suspend something that costs 47 mana. So you're playing Omniscience, you're playing, what's the other one that goes well with Omniscience?
Enter the Infinite.
Yeah, and that card's like at $1.50, and like, I'm really waiting for it to do something. You're playing dumb stuff like Balefire Dragon that slowly went to $10 while no one was looking.
Beacon of Tomorrow is going to hit $3.
Yeah, and that's going to be a good buy-in, but I think, I think if people play with, Joaria... They're going to want Paradox Haze, which is a $1.50 uncommon, but it's an uncommon from Time Spiral, which means it's old as balls. Time Spiral is like, what, the same year as Maitre's Bauble, which is a $50 common?
Or 60? Yep.
Is it up to 70? So
No, it's like $40,
it's
but...
Yeah. It's 30. Yeah.
It's dumb. So I think that Paradox Haze can be more than it is now.
That's a good one. I pulled a bunch of those today, actually.
Yeah, it's like it's only $1.50 for as old as it is, and like it cheats, man. Anything that triggers on your upkeep, you do more than once, and lots of EDH stuff triggers on your upkeep. So that's a card that just like it's in such low supply, and it's so old that it takes a little nudge, and I think I just gave it the nudge it needed.
Okay, I'm gonna jump in here. It's actually hard for me. There's a few cards I like this week. Hardened Scales is one of them, but I'm not going to officially make this my pick because it's already jumped a buck. And it was just in Commander 2016, which is actually crazy. It got reprinted in a spiking. It has...
Because it was in an expensive deck, and then no one's going to take it out, so it's not like that freed up copies.
I guess, yeah. I mean, it's just, modern, like, basically Walking Ballista Snake sort of thing. I don't know if it can hold. I don't... think this is like going to be a tier deck in modern or anything, but it's moved up. But my actual pick is a Tarkas Command. Honestly, I think I may have picked this in the past and it maybe moved some, but I think it's worth talking about again because it's starting to tick up a little. And we see where it could go because Kolaghan's Command is $12 and also rising again. A Tarkas Command is $7 and starting to rise again. So,
Corbin, that card's frontier legal. Golly.
Good point.
that's such a good reason to buy this Magic the Gathering card.
We forgot about that format real fast, didn't we? That was a thing for a minute. Remember, it was the next big thing.
I never acknowledged it in the first place. Just so
it made some prices move. It definitely made prices move for a minute. It's definitely not Tiny Leaders 2.0.
I tried telling people. Jesus.
Well, you were just pooping on... No, you were pooping on their fun, dude. It's not... They were trying to find something in Magic you enjoyed, and you were being a jerk to them. That's how it worked. It's not like you were trying to save players money from investing in a format that would never exist.
I was doing both. I can't do okay. both.
Okay.
You're I right. can't tell someone that
I even did. I give you a perfect. I give you an out. I give you an out, and you're like, "Nah, I'm going to be a jerk too."
I can't call somebody a retard while I save them money.
Come on. Anyways, a Targus Command I think is a good pick. Right now, I don't think it's, you know, it's not going to double overnight. It's not a super incredible pick that's going to make you a ton of money. But if you're a modern player and think that, you know, there's multiple decks that play a Tarkus Command, keep an eye on it. Especially Burn, which just got a lot cheaper with the Goblin Guide reprint. All right. Anything else you guys want to hit on before we get out of here this week?
No.
No.
Let's keep casting. Let's have another 20-minute aside.
All right, I'll be in thank you everyone for listening. I'll be in GP Orlando this weekend and then GP San Antonio next weekend. So feel free to come up and say hi to me if you're there. I'll be running around like a crazy person trying to keep up with work, but it'll be a good time.
I'll be at GP Vegas because I'm a bad husband and father.
I'll be at GP Vegas and I might be getting married at GP Vegas.
You should. I hope that happens, man. I'm ready for that.
I'm honestly considering it.
Wow.
Is she honestly considering it, though? Weren't you going to get married to Taco Bell?
She's the one that suggested it.
Do it.
And then her mom, like, half-jokingly said that we should do it.
Do it.
Like, how half-jokingly? Like, Kyrie Irving saying the earth is flat, half-joking?
Do it.
No, because we might be getting married at, like, that Taco Bell, which would be hilarious. It's called the Taco Bell Cantina, and you can order a wedding off of the menu.
I
want to say do it again, but I don't know. But you lost me at Taco Bell. More of a Taco Mayo kind of guy.
That's not a thing anywhere else.
Speaking of burritos, I cashed in my Chipotle catering for 20 last week.
Okay.
It was worth it.
What are you getting catered?
Well, I ate at Chipotle 37 times in 3 months.
Oh, yeah. I remember
right.
the story.
So for people who don't know,
probably.
I did that. I figured it out. Because of those 37 times every fourth meal was free, I got like 9 free meals out of that. So I spent, in each burrito, it was like $8 or something. So I spent like $200 or something at Chipotle over that time. I got a $275 value catering meal that I picked up on Saturday, brought over to my house for like a month late birthday party for me, myself. We had a bunch of family over, a bunch of friends with kids, etc. And we're able to cater that for everybody and then had a party that night for my birthday. But it was well worth it, man. Shout out to Chipotle. Sponsor us.